What an awesome privilege it is to speak to you today and bring the Word of God. And I'm really excited for what God is going to do today in this service. And I just want to really honour Pastor Nigel and Andrea for, again, giving the opportunity to speak to you and bring the Word of God. And let's just open up in prayer and commit this time to Him. Father God, we just stand in awe of who You are. Father God, we just thank You that You have created us, each and every one of us, for Your glory. And Father God, we pray that Your word will pierce our hearts and our minds. Father God, as we are open to hearing what You have to say to us today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm talking today about passionate, living a passionate and purposeful life. And oh, my goodness, passion. Oh, the things that I have passion for. You know, when I was a teenager in high school, I just had so much passion for music, and all I wanted to do was that. My whole world just revolved around doing that. I actually didn't understand the point of English, math, science. You know, what is the point of that? You know, music was just my world and my everything, and I had such passion for it. And, you know, there was a time that I was in year 12 and didn't really want to be there. And I was so fortunate to do a very late audition to Whopper and be accepted and you know, start actually doing everything that I dreamed of. It was a dream come true. And so my world for about 3 years revolved around consuming music. I would practice 6 to 8 hours a day, flute and vocals. And you know, if it wasn't in my room by myself doing that, it was with other people, with ensembles and, you know, choral groups and just everything, you know. And oh, it was just amazing. And the passion that I had, the passion to perfect, you know, the musicality and just be absorbed in all of that was so strong. You know, I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I would practice for a couple of hours, doing all the technical work, doing all the scales and everything. And I didn't see anything wrong with that. I thought it was fine, you know, family, they can deal with that. Until we had new neighbours move in next to us. And they had a few complaints to make. They said, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Can you just give it a rest, you know? And anyway, I can't tell you, you know, the excitement and the joy it is when you're passionate about something and you get to do something so much. And however, there was a point, you know, when I was studying music, and I also came to Christ during that time, and it came to a point where, you know, what's this actually all for? And I realized that the passion that I had was self-serving. It was all self-serving. What was the point? And see, passion without purpose is actually meaningless. It's pointless. And so I had to step away. I had to sacrifice and give that all up. And I stopped doing all of that sort of stuff for a period of time. I had to really give it up. You know, it was becoming an idol in my life, and whilst I was passionate about it, this isn't what God had for me to do. This wasn't His plan or purpose for what He had in store for me. So I spent about 12 months, I took myself out of Whopper, and I spent about 12 months waiting on the Lord, seeking the Lord. What are Your plans? What are Your purposes? It took about a year before I came to a point of, you know, you need to go to Bible college, you need to go into counselling, you need to take this journey. And so it began the journey of moving into what God had planned. Now, I didn't know everything about all of that. I didn't know what was going to happen. And it's been a constant seeking of God, seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. Matthew 6:33, putting Him first, seeking Him first and saying, Lord, what are Your plans? What are Your purposes? Give me Your passion for Your kingdom and for what You have for me to do. And even though I was going through studying, and then we had children and family and all the chaos that comes with that, I still had the kingdom of God in mind and what he had for me to do. And now it's probably been about 8 years of working in this field and now seeing the fullness of what God has for this plan in the counselling arena. And I had conversations this week actually where, and I knew this a number of years ago actually, that, you know, your purpose for this work is to heal the brokenhearted. Your purpose is to work with those people who have been so damaged, have been so broken. And do you know what? In working in this area for over the last few years, I have seen the freedom that God brings to people. I have seen people being set free. I have been seen people and had the joy and the privilege of journeying with people and seeing how God restores, how he redeems. He's an incredible God. He has good plans for each and every one of us. And so this is my passion. Can you hear the burden in my heart that I have for these people? This is a passion that God has put in my heart. And God has put passions and burdens in each and every one of us. Because when we get the heart of God, when we get what passion means, when we serve him, oh my goodness, how can you not walk in everything that he has in store for you? And so today my prayer is that, you know, there's dreams that people have had, there's things that you are passionate about in working in, you know, areas for the kingdom of God. There are people here where this passion needs to be ignited. Your flame needs to be fanned. It needs to be, you know, spurred on. It needs to be really stirred up. Because God has plans and purposes for each of us. You know, he created you before you were even here. He knew you. He planned for you to be here at this point in time. And he has plans and purposes that you need to fulfill to bring glory to him, to bring people to salvation, to bring heaven on earth. Every single person. And my prayer is that you will discover what those things are, that you will be seeking God. You will be seeking his kingdom and his righteousness on a daily basis. Lord, what are your plans? What are your purposes? These are my passions. You know me. You know me. You made me so intricately. You know me. So passion and purpose. You know, passion drives our discovery of your purpose. It was God who purposed you to be firmly planted in the body of Christ, firmly planted to be in the local church, firmly planted so you can put your roots down, so you can, you know, grow into the fullness of what God has for you, so that you can work together with one another, alongside one another, learning and growing and discovering your purposes as you do that with your church. So what is God's purposes for you right now? What does he want you to do? What is it? You know, as I'm speaking, just allow God to speak to you about these things. Allow God to speak to you about what you're passionate about what purposes he has for you. Just be open to hear his voice today. What desires or plans has God placed in your heart? What deeply touches your heart? What do you carry a burden for, or who? Who do you carry a burden for? Mark 12, verse 30 says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." We're to love God with everything that we are. Everything. This is the first commandment, and the second is to love your neighbour as yourself. And so we're to love God with all of our heart, all of our passions, all of our strength, all of our mind, all of our soul, Everything is for God. Everything is towards Him. And to love one another as we love ourselves. God is such a passionate God, isn't He? He's so passionate for us. He wants us to know Him so, so incredibly well. And so we need to be passionate for God, passionate for Him, passionate for His kingdom, loving Him with everything that we are. You know, it was Christ's passion that enabled Him to go to the cross. It was Christ's passion that enabled Him to actually take that final step for His purpose in what He was supposed to do. That, you know, I'm going to read towards the end of how Christ was able to do that, but it was the most difficult thing He had to do, but He did it for us because He was passionate for us and He wanted us to be having eternity with Him. He wanted us to be reconciled to Him. And so, you know, over time as we seek God on what His plans and purposes are, it's, you know, it changes. It's not as if, all right, this is it. This is the one thing that I have to do. God doesn't work like that. We see how Jesus, you know, He grew. He grew into teaching. He grew into ministry. And when He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, that's when His ministry took off, and then He was healing the sick and doing miracles and things like that. And then His other purpose was to go on the cross and die and be resurrected. So our purposes change over time. And so we need to be seeking God on a daily basis for what He wants to do in your life. And that is different over time. There, you know, when I came to Christ, I actually didn't even think twice about serving in the house of God. You know, first it was the worship team, and then when we had children, it was being in kids' church and being in creche, and you just do what, you know, what you're called to do, right, at that particular point in time and where you are in your stage of life. And so, you know, over time things have changed, and it's moved into children's ministry and then running children's ministry and then pastoral care. And so I just keep going, all right, God, whatever it is, I'm here, I'm willing. I'm here and I'm willing. Here I am. Whatever You want, Your will, not my will. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's a whole passage about gifts, spiritual gifts and natural gifts. And, you know, as I said before, God has designed you one of a kind, unique, for a purpose. And there's characteristics, your personality, your natural giftings and abilities, spiritual gifts and abilities. God has given each one of you such a unique way of being. And so you need to discover all of who God is, all of how God has made you, and you know, walk in that. You know, I just think if you don't know what personality you are or giftings and things like that is, maybe start with what you know you aren't. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I know 100% my gifting is not in IT. I spend a lot of wasted time trying to work things out with the computer, and I'm so thankful that we have Pastor Helen, we have Pastor Barry, who they are just spot on with IT. And there's been so many times where on a Sunday or even during the week, Helen, help me. Pastor Helen, help me. How does the printer connect with the computer? How do the... Oh, just so many things I just cannot work out. And she just goes, like, a few seconds and it's fixed. How do you do that? That is computer magic in my mind. I just don't understand how you do it, Pastor Helen. And Barry's the same. You know, when Barry came on staff, had printer problems and computer problems, and we, you know, as pastoral staff, we set goals and strategies and things like that. And so one of I think Barry's goals is, although we haven't done it for a little while, but one of his goals is IT with Emma. And so when I need help, he is there to help me with that. Praise God, hey, for our different giftings that we have. Where's Bruce? Bruce is here. You know, I see him so much doing maintenance work around the church and building things. And he is so gifted in this area. And I know he probably doesn't want me to say it, but he's a very gifted craftsmanship and builder. And again, not my thing. Not my thing. I think I spent 3 hours trying to put an IKEA little bookcase together. It was all back to front and all wrong. And Richard said, Just don't do that. So we have people here, you know, we're all gifted in different ways, and walk in what your giftings are, walk in what your abilities are, and use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts and together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter our status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. In fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. So if the foot were to say, since I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's forgetting that it is still a vital part of the body. Think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could it hear sounds? And if the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell different fragrances? This is the bit I want you to hear. But God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as it desires. A diversity is required, for if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many differing parts and functions, but one body. I love that scripture. God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as it desires. Can you hear the freedom that there is in how the body functions as it desires? The freedom of functioning and just working together. There's just so much freedom. And differing parts and diversity. Diversity. God loves diversity. He's a creator God. He's a creator God. And so I know this is a metaphor, but, you know, I want to ask you today, what body part are you? What body part are you in the body of Christ? What part are you playing? Because if you're not doing what God has called you to do, the body suffers. The body really does suffer. You know, I think of our hospitality team and speaking with Pastor Helen, and she has so many things she wants to do. Hospitality team is all about warmth and welcome and blessing people and just, you know, creating that atmosphere of we're so glad you're here. We love you. And she has so many ideas that she wants to do in this ministry to really express that. But there are people who aren't serving in this way. They're called to serve in the hospitality team, but they haven't yet stepped up there. And so it suffers. And when we're not able to carry out what God has called Pastor Helen to carry out. It's the same with the children's team. You know, our children's workers, they are tired and weary. They are tired and weary. And there are gaps. And people who have the heart to teach our children, to impart the word of God into our children so that they grow up knowing him. They need people to do that. And so if you come to church and then you go home and you have a part to play. What is your part to play? You are significant. You are important. God has called you to do something. God has given you gifts and talents and abilities, and he wants you to be released in the fullness of all he has for you. And so you step out and you start doing. You start doing what he has for you to do. It grieves me when I see people not understanding what their purposes are. It grieves me. Because they could be having so much joy. They would be, you know, when you serve, it is life-giving. It is a blessing to you and it blesses other. You know, God doesn't want you to be doing something that you hate. That doesn't even make sense. It's life-giving. It brings you joy. Don't let your joy be robbed by not playing your part. There's so many scriptures about this. You know, I love the scripture, Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things planned for us long ago. You know, there it is. He's planned for you to do things way before we even knew it. In Philippians 2 verses 12 to 15, Paul says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. So work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people." When we're acting according to God's plans and purposes, he gives you the desire to do it. He gives you the power to do it, the ability to do it. So no, we're not walking in our own strength or our own, you know, energy, if you like. He gives us the strength and the ability to do what he has desired for us to do. And so again, the burden is light. The burden is light. So we need to pursue God with everything that we have. We need to pursue what he has for us to do with everything that we have, diligently, consistently, passionately, with all our heart. Psalm 2 verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. You know, have a reverence for who God is. He created you for a purpose. And so, you know, when you're wondering about what you should do, what is my part in the body of Christ? It's simply giving it a go. It's simply just, well, what can I do? Do I love being warm and welcoming for people and food and coffee, good coffee? Join the hospitality team. Do I love doing the operational side things, the behind the scenes type things? You know, join the service team. You know, you can be a door greeter. You can stand on the door and meet every single person who comes into church. What a joy that is to do, you know? So easy to do. If you're a musician, if you're a vocalist or a drummer, join the worship team. Become part of a team. And as you do this, you will grow in your giftings. You will be blessed. You will bless others. And you will also just grow in the knowledge of God as well. We have incredible leaders. We have incredible leaders. Jared with the music directing of here, and Wellard, Pastor Helen with hospitality. We've got Jane with the service team. You know, Jane's like this person who runs a slick operation. There's so much things that you don't know that goes behind the scenes, you know, in the auditorium when we set up. It's a slick operation. She's just, oh, so slick. Jane and Roy. Katie, Pastor Katie for the children's ministry. Man, I've been in kids for a long time. And I know Kathy can attest to this. You learn so much for kids. They teach you so much. And they're such a joy. You get to play games, have fun. Oh, my goodness. It's a joy. I was in there yesterday setting up their Bible Buck store. And, you know, I love it. I love it. I love how kids come and they tell you their memory verses. They're so excited about the Word of God. They have passion for Him when you share your passion with them. They love it. Kids growing up in the house of God. I had my daughter do a short preaching message, if you like, a few weeks ago in youth. Incredible. 15-year-old. Because she's growing up in the house of God. And she's got youth pastors over her who are encouraging her, who are spurring her on. She's got two friends coming to church tonight because she has passion for God. She knows Him. She's seen me and Richard serve. Do you get it? Can you catch it? Are you catching the passion? Are you getting it? Oh my goodness, I could come up with so many excuses. You know, I can't come to church on Sunday. I've got four kids. I work full time, 12-hour days. I need to stay in bed. I could come up with so many excuses. You know, there's a period of time when I was studying. I was working three jobs, still a large family. God came first every single time. Didn't matter how tired I was, how grumpy I was in church on a Sunday, worshipping Him, praising Him. Put God first. Put God first. So if you're here today, you know, and you're hearing God speak to you about your those things that you're passionate about, I really want to encourage you to fill out our purpose card today. There's only a few things on there, actually, and I don't want to limit God in what He has for you. But get involved. We're part of a body. Christ is the head of the body, which is His church. And so we need to do our part, whether it's a prayer team, interceding for people, healing, if you have the gift of prophecy, words of knowledge, hospitality, children, AV. I get scared when I look at that AV sound again. It's just, my goodness, there's buttons and tech stuff and, you know, but Todd's there and David's there and they love it, you know. They love it so much because that's their fit. That's how God has designed them and they're walking in that. So fill out the volunteer cards. We're going to collect them at the end. And you know, I don't want you to be daunted by it. It's just getting involved. It's playing your part. It's really just playing your part, whatever simple thing that you want to step into. And so you give it a go. And so how this works is when you join a team, the ministry leader will get in contact with you. They'll talk to you or I'll talk to you. What do you want to do? Where do you want to serve? How do you want to help? How often do you want to help? And we work in with what your life is. We fit in with you. Okay? So it's okay. We train you. The children's leaders will train you. The musicians, you practice, you get trained. They're encouraging you. Hospitality, you get trained. If you want to be a barista, you'll be trained. I don't know where else you can have professional barista training for free. Seriously. It's in church. So just give it a go. Try something out. If it doesn't really work, if it's not your fit, that's okay. Try something else. The joy is in serving. The joy is in discovering God's plans and purposes for you and being part of the body and seeing how this works. I want to share just a quick story. A few months ago, I knew that we needed someone to live with us and to help out with doing school pickups for a couple of days and cooking meals and things like that. And I'm very, very particular with who my kids are being looked after, very particular. And I said to Susan, we need an au pair. You know, I know there's lots of different companies and places that you can go to, but I just wasn't quite sure. And so Susan said, my friend has been praying for your family and she wants to come and be here for a few months to help you out. Now, her friend is a 76-year-old woman who drove across the Nullarbor Plain for 6 days to be with us because she had heard from God what her purpose was for this particular time. What excuse do you have? I mean, come on, 76-year-old woman, 6 days across Australia. Wow. And, you know, it has not just been, all I was expecting was someone just to look after my kids, just look after my kids and I'll be happy. She has spoken wisdom into my life. She has shown me how to live a godly life even more so than what I knew. She has organised all of our kitchen cupboards, all of our linen cupboards, all of our pantry. Our house is in incredible order. She is such a blessing. She is such a blessing. And she's done this out of knowing God, out of seeking God and what his purposes are. And she's done so much more. She's only with us for a couple of days and then she goes off and she continues to bless people and do ministry. I ask Susan about what she does. She's an amazing woman. That's what I want to be. I want to be a woman in my later years, serving God still with all of my heart, seeking him first. God, what are your plans and purposes now? Lord, I just want to glorify you more and more in the body of Christ. And so as we come to a close, I would like to encourage you with a passage in Ephesians. Which I don't have, so I'll have to rely on the screen. So Ephesians 3. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. May you put your roots firmly in the house of God. And grow into discovering all that he has for you. May you serve him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your soul, everything that you have within him, in you. In Matthew 26, we read, Jesus led his disciples to an orchard called the oil press. And he told them, sit here while I go and pray over there. He took Peter, Jacob and John with him. This was before he was facing the crucifixion. However, an intense feeling of great sorrow plunged his soul into deep sorrow and agony. And he said to them, my heart is overwhelmed and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying. Stay here and keep watch with me. Then he walked a short distance away and overcome with grief, he threw himself face down on the ground and prayed, my Father, if there is any way you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. In the Bible, the word passion is actually suffering. Yet what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me. Then an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen him. Jesus prayed 3 times. He kept coming back. It was 3 times he prayed. God, if there's any other way. An angel was sent to strengthen him. And he knew his will, the Father's will. The Father's will is what he needed to do. Christ experienced the most excruciatingly painful suffering for you, that you would have eternal life. There are people here today that need to get a revelation of what Christ has done for them. when you know what Christ has done, when you know how much pain he went through, how difficult that was for him. He was God. He was perfect. It was hard for him to go to the cross, to have his shoulders dislocated, his feet pierced, his hands pierced, whipped and beaten. Can you imagine? He did this for you so that you could be reconciled back to him and have eternal life with him and with the Father. People get a revelation of Christ. Get a revelation of his passion for you, his purpose that he fulfilled for you, so that you can act accordingly, so that you can have passion for what he has for you. My heart, my prayer, you know, my purposes right now is that people discover all of what God has, all of what God has for you, and that you are walking daily, seeking his kingdom, knowing God, knowing him, having a heart understanding of everything that he has for you, because it's good. It's so good. Doesn't matter what's happened in the past. God has a good plan for you. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He redeems, he restores, he heals, he blesses. So serve, so walk in everything that he has for you. Be a part of the body. Get involved in church. Get involved. But get your passion back. Get your passion back. We're going to close in a few minutes. I'm going to pray and we're going to open up the altar for people who need prayer, for people who want to come forward, who just need to be released into their plans and purposes that God has for them, to be encouraged, to be prayed over. We just want to bless you. We're going to open up the altar, so please come. We have Steve who's going to pray. Steve has an incredible gift of moving in the spirit, of speaking into people's hearts. If you're wanting, you know, that sort of prayer today, please come. Please come. We want to see everybody released into the fullness of God, what God has for you. That's our heart. That's our C3 culture. That everybody is walking in the fullness of God. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a good, good Father. And Lord, we just want to love you with all of our heart. We want to know more of how you have designed us. God, we want to know more of what your plans and purposes and things that you have for us to do for every single person here. And Father, I pray for people that have heard your word today. Father God, that they are going to step into everything that you have for them with boldness and confidence and courage, trusting in the Almighty Father. Bless your people today. Bless your people. Protect your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.